This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Because I wasn't on the air last week, it just dawned on me, this is our first hump show of 2020. Summer of 2020 is what I should say. Oh my goodness, there goes the perfect show. I'm sure there's a time where I've ruined the perfect show more quickly than that, but you know, that that's pretty close to being a record. Okay, let me try again. Take two. I just dawned on me. I don't even know if I can say it with the same enthusiasm. It just dawned on me, peeps. Also, I have my door open again, so why am I yelling or speaking loudly? This is really just my regular voice. It is the first hump show of summer 2020. Oh my gosh, there's a bug crawling down my curtains. Ah! Oh my God. Okay, seriously, I can't concentrate right now. There's a bug. Oh, it's just a fly. Okay, my gosh. If it was a spider, I was going to have to pause the entire show and really probably it would get back to my boss and he would decide that I can't be doing my show from where I am anymore. Anyway, there's a fly crawling on the inside of my curtains. And for a second there, I thought it was a giant spider because I killed a spider on the floor about 20 minutes ago. See how easily I get distracted by bugs? This is bad. Also, the show apparently was not destined to be perfect. It's summer 2020, which means there's bugs in 2020 in my neighborhood. But once again, it's an evening, a night with the temps down in the lower 60s. So the door is open. Let's see if my neighbor's got her lights on. Nope, neighbor went to bed. There's one to the side of me whose lights I can't see currently, but about a half hour when I let Penster out. She also had her lights on. So apparently I'm in a neighborhood of night owls, which is pretty cool. I like that. We night owls need to flock together. And that's what we do here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Forgive the freak out over the bug, but you don't understand. Spiders are my number one fear in this life. Maybe someday I'll get over it, but I doubt it. So it's not a spider. Everyone can breathe more easily. I can continue talking about sports, and I have some cool news to share with you. It's personal news, but I know many of you care about my personal news, so thank you for that. And thank you for joining us for the Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's our middle show of the work week. If you are wondering what the heck is a hump show, well, that's the deal. It's not quite hump day because it's not daytime when we are broadcasting our show. Well, it's daytime on the other side of the globe, but that doesn't really apply to us. And so we do the hump show leading you into the hump day. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. So hump show also means ask Amy anything. I don't know how you survived the week I was on vacation without being able to ask me anything. I was totally being sarcastic. Of course you survived just fine. And maybe some of you were less annoyed. But it is the staple of the hump show that we field your questions and you can ask Amy anything. And so we invite you to send your questions even now to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also to our Facebook page named after the show. And we're going to continue with the theme that we started last night. And I just want to say, you guys rock. We're doing four shows in honor of July 4th. And last night, we were highlighting favorite spots, favorite geographic spot. So we're talking about an actual location around the United States. And so we asked you your favorite spots, whether it be to visit or to live, or maybe it's a nostalgic spot somewhere in the United States. And not only did we get hundreds of responses overnight, but we also got them throughout the daytime on both Twitter and Facebook. And even though I didn't respond to them, I did read them, and it's really cool. You gave me the itch to travel, as if I didn't already have the itch to travel after having been in place since early March. I'm telling you what, this is the longest I have ever not traveled, I think, in my whole life. So like many of you, having to cancel all kinds of travel plans in the spring and not really having any travel plans much for the summer, I'm going to go visit my brother and his family in mid-August. That kind of places... Well, it places me outside my area, but it replaces the birthday trip that I had to cancel in the spring when we felt like it was better for me to stay home. And with all the moving and the expenses that come with buying a house, yes, many of you know, I don't have to tell you. They don't tell you about when you sign the contract, they don't tell you about all the other money you have to spend to get into a house and to be ready to move in. But I haven't been able to take any time away from my neighborhood, and I'm ready. I'm itching to get out of town. And so I don't know if it'll happen before mid-August, but I do have that to look forward to. And when travel is restored around our country and around our world, I'm looking forward to visiting some of the places that you shared with us over the last 24 hours. So that was our first show to highlight some of the great features of the United States of America in honor of her birthday. On tonight's show, The Hump Show, I want to ask you a question that I want you to think outside the box to answer. Obviously, when you hear the phrase America's pastime, you think baseball. Now, maybe you genuinely think baseball, or maybe you laughingly think baseball, as in you don't actually believe that baseball is America's pastime anymore. And considering the way that baseball did us dirty this spring, I would agree with you that baseball currently has lost its grip on the label of America's pastime. But beyond sports, what is America's pastime? Maybe it's something that you enjoy doing with the family, so it could be an activity. Don't you dare write to me and say drinking beer is America's pastime. Dave, how many people do you think are going to write in? Dave's with us in the control room. How many people do you think are going to write or call in and try to convince me that drinking beer is America's pastime?
What's a number that's more than 100%?
Stop it. No. When I ask that question, that's not what you think of, is it?
No, but it's in there. It's part of it, but it's not the whole thing.
Fine. Well, I think talking is America's pastime. How about that? Actually, it's probably changed to texting or snapping. I swear to you, if it requires getting to know someone over Snapchat, I once again will remain single forever. I was talking to this guy recently. This is totally off the beaten path, but I was talking to this guy recently, and he decided he thought our entire getting to know each other should be on Snapchat. And I got bored really quickly and just stopped answering. Okay, I mean... No, you can't get to know someone on Snapchat. Anyway, but Snapchat may be America's pastime. You could probably sell me on that. I wish talking was America's pastime, because when people talk, good things happen. So what is America's pastime? If you must tell me drinking beer, I'm going to roll my eyes at you, but okay, if that's what you really think. It doesn't need to be a sport. It doesn't need to be anything to do with the sports world. If you tell me cornhole is America's pastime, I'm going to laugh in your face. But what is America's pastime in 2020? Besides worrying. Worrying about the virus, that's America's pastime in 2020. Oi, I just did a face palm. I don't know if you could hear it. Oh, see, that one was very loud. It translated well over the microphone. So what is America's pastime in your opinion? And I'm looking for positive answers. You know, I'm looking for some ways to highlight some of the cool activities here in the United States of America. But maybe it's not that. maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's hard to say because one size doesn't fit all, but maybe it's family. Maybe you think family is America's pastime. Maybe friends are America's pastime. Just think outside the box is all I'm asking, and we'll have fun with this one. But again, the whole point is to highlight features and qualities of the USA that we love and that we appreciate, not to tear her down. We do that on a pretty regular basis. But in honor of her birthday, we definitely need to be positive and optimistic. Or I need to, and I hope you will do it with me. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter. So we have producer Chris working from home tonight, and he will retweet your answers. And in addition to that, oh, Dave, I got it. Are you ready?
Go.
Adopting pets is America's pastime. How about that?
I mean, I like it. I don't know that it's maybe.
Can you hear the uncertainty in Dave's voice? Have you come up with an answer yourself, or do you need more time?
I'm going to think on it a little bit. Just give a minute to stew, you know, stew on it for a minute.
Okay, cool. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other real cynical ones, but I don't want to share those. I feel like many of you will probably share your cynical America's pastimes, but I'm looking for positive. I'm looking for uplifting. I'm looking for encouraging. I know I can't mandate that, though, because it is a free country. Maybe freedom is America's pastime. Again, on Twitter or on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and it's our countdown to 4th of July weekend because we're at the end of June. I don't know how we got here. Don't ask me. I tweeted this earlier as I was trying to chew over it and stew over it, as Dave just mentioned. Wednesday is July 1st. Whoa. And how maybe you guys were like me. And when we started working from home, or in many cases, we lost our jobs, we were furloughed. I, like you, have friends and family members who are not back to work yet, who haven't necessarily lost their jobs, but are not earning a paycheck right now. Many of you have gotten back to work, and I think that's amazing. But there are a lot of people who are still waiting for that green light. It was early March when the national emergency, the pandemic, was declared, and when 2020 turned into something that we never thought possible and that we barely recognized. I'm proud of us as a nation for the way that we navigated a spring unlike any other. I know it wasn't always pretty, and it certainly wasn't easy, but we do what we have to do. I think average Americans, average Joe and June, we figure it out because we have to. And it's certainly not easy now either as we roll into the month of July. But I'm glad I didn't know. I'll just be honest. I'm glad I didn't know that we would still be in this pattern, a bit of a holding pattern, that we would still be struggling with the virus and trying to figure out how to balance life and health, how to balance our economy and the need to get back to work with the need to be smart and still separate and keep our distance in many cases, with the need to earn a paycheck and feed our families, but also the need to protect those who are the most vulnerable. And I think every day we're seeing that. We're still seeing that it's a struggle. We're still seeing that it's a conflict. We're still seeing that, again, it's not one size fits all. It blows my mind that here we are and it's nearly July. I know for some of you, you're awake on your Wednesday, so it's already your July. But for a lot of us, if we're just going straight time zones, it's still the end of June. And I kind of feel like it would be nice if I lived on Hawaii time, but mostly I live on Pacific time. So yeah, it's nearly July and we're still swimming. Maybe swimming is America's pastime. Oh, there's a good one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Would you like the good news or the bad news first? Let's get the bad news out of the way, shall we? I know many of you are big fans and big supporters of minor league baseball. And we knew this day and this announcement was coming, but baseball's minor leagues finally canceled their seasons outright on Tuesday. And the head of their governing body has indicated that more than half of the minor league teams, not the independent ones, but the ones that are associated with professional baseball, or so Major League Baseball, more than half of those teams are in danger of going belly up. So if they don't get private donations, if they don't get government assistance, and I don't know how that's possible, but it's smarter people than me who work on these things behind the scenes. Feels like the government can only bail out so many businesses and so many people, and it's difficult to know who and how and when and where do you draw the line, and it seems like it's not fair, right? So I don't know how that happens. But according to Pat O'Connor, who held a news conference, maybe we can track down some of that sound a little bit later in the show, but he held a news conference on Tuesday and he said, we are a fans in the stands business. We don't have national TV revenues. And he also believes that nearly 90% of the revenue for minor league baseball comes from ticket sales and then game day concessions and parking, plus the signs that you see around minor league baseball ballparks. And so all of that revolves around the stadiums. And very much in minor league baseball, going to a stadium is an experience. I'm sure many of you could share stories of family outings or summers spent at the minor league ballpark. And you know what else they do really well? They entertain people. Minor league baseball, as much as it is about training future prospects for the majors, as well as helping major league prospects to rehab and get a stint on the baseball field before they return to their parent club, the minor leagues are also about entertaining people. And very often it's an affordable ticket for full families. You can go and you can watch baseball and you can see some of the next great players, or again, some major leaguers who are doing a quick rehab stint before they return to their parent clubs. You can see some of the best names in baseball go through the minor leagues first or again. And it's a reasonably priced ticket, so you can take a family. And we know all about baseball's minor league quirky kind of ways to attract fans. So they do fun dress-up nights. They have promotions where they do a lot of giveaways. And all of this comes not only because of the support of their fans, but because of their partnerships with local businesses. Certainly, you do have some local businesses that support major league clubs, but a lot of the major league sponsorships come from national companies and from, you know, big time deals. Many of the minor league clubs exist solely with the local support of businesses and fans. And here's the number that I can throw out to you so you kind of understand, put a number to my point. Minor league teams drew more than 41.5 million fans last year. That's 176 teams over 15 leagues. Nerd alert. Averaging better than 4,000 fans per game. Now that doesn't seem like a lot when you compare it to the majors, but the ballparks are very often intimate, cozier. They're obviously smaller. And a lot of them are located right in the middle of neighborhoods. But it's just not feasible with the major league clubs planning just a 60-game regular season and much of their money coming from broadcast rights, which is why they're so anxious to have a postseason, because they get buku bucks for broadcasting postseason games. It's just not possible to also fund the minor leagues. And so you've got minor league baseball, yet another segment of the sports industry that is in dire straits right now. They don't have national TV revenues, and it's almost not possible or worth it for them to play without fans because they'd be losing money through operations that they weren't in any way balancing out with ticket sales or concessions or parking. And so it's a day that maybe we thought was coming as sports fans, but it's hard to stomach. And we already knew that a lot of the minor league players themselves had been cut or fired. I mean, I'm using my air quotations, but that's how it goes. That's many of them had already lost their jobs, and a lot of them may not get another opportunity. But to now know for certain that the season has been canceled and that some of these teams are in danger of going under, a lot of these teams are in danger of going under, it hammers home that as much as we want sports to be separate and entertainment and a distraction and a freedom from the cares and the worries and the anxieties of our other lives, our daily lives, our difficult, in some cases, lives in 2020, sports are also a business, and they're in the same boat. They're very much in the same boat. They're dealing with the concerns about the virus, both health and safety, and they're also dealing with major revenue and financial concerns. And minor league baseball becomes the latest victim. So that's a bummer. They waited as long as they possibly could. Now let's hope that there's private support or local funding from businesses, or that somehow they get a lifeline and these teams are able to survive a year in which they did not have games. I don't know if you saw it, but there were a bunch of minor league teams that put posts on Twitter and just kind of groused about the situation, which I totally understand. Was it the Durham Bulls that said 2020 sucks? There was one team out there. I'll have to find it. Producer Chris, maybe you can find it. But there was one minor league team. I'd have to go back and look for it on Twitter, that all they put out there was 2020 sucks. Yeah, I think a lot of people can identify with that remark, and in fact would resemble that remark. it's another gut punch, and it's hard. Minor league baseball is certainly one component of American sports life that is different from the major leagues and isn't always all about the money. So maybe minor league baseball would be your choice for America's pastime. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And while you're on social media, make sure you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Well, baseball used to be America's pastime. I think a lot of people would say football has replaced baseball. But baseball still has cooler songs, like this one. It's one of my favorite sports songs. So, as we highlight some of the great features of the United States of America, I'm asking you, what is America's pastime? Yes, I know that label has applied to baseball for a really long time, but I'm thinking outside the box, in greater society, not just in the world of sports. So I want to hear from you on Twitter, After Hours CBS. I don't know if you've seen the GIF that producer Chris just put up. Is he trying to tell us that suing people is America's pastime? No, he knows I love Judge Judy. And so he's got a GIF of Judge Judy, who I believe is retiring this year or soon. I could be wrong, but I thought I read that. And so he's got a GIF of Judge Judy, and she's awesome and she rocks. And we have a bunch of drops of Judge Judy, too. But I know many of you might say that litigation is America's pastime. However, we're looking for the positives. Let's accentuate the positives, shall we? On our first hump show of summer 2020, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Some of you tune in on Sirius XM, channel 206. Others of you use a variety of free and easy apps like the radio.com app. Some of you listen online, cbssportsradio.com. I know in many cases we've had affiliates check in, we've had affiliates check out. We know that some some of our affiliates have gone to more local programming in the face of the pandemic, and other affiliates have jumped on that we don't normally have. Certainly around the holidays, we have more affiliates who join us. So we expect that a lot of different people will be tuned in as we get closer to the holiday weekend. Our company has decided that we will get a half day. It doesn't apply to us. We're not regular employees. but our company has decided that a half day will take place on Thursday. And of course, Friday is the company holiday and Saturday is Independence Day. So I hope, despite the restrictions and despite some of the travel inconveniences, and in some cases, even traveling from state to state, they're discouraging it. But I hope that you all have some fun, maybe family or friend plans, maybe just a chance to relax and do some R&R. It's a holiday that we didn't really expect, but there are ways that we can enjoy it. I got invited to a pool party. I'm going to be careful, really careful, but I am going to go just to be around people and to wave at them from my seat. I'm going to be antisocial. Antisocial. That doesn't really fit me, but I've got to, because I need to stay healthy, and I want the opportunity to visit family, maybe my grandmother later in the summer. And so I need to stay healthy for those reasons. So I'm going to be uber cautious and wear a mask at a pool party, whatever it takes. Bob Uessler is with us, joining us from his super secret home location. Hola, Bob.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Now, can I trust you to be somewhat non-cynical as I ask you tonight's question?
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, good. I feel like you come across as genuine. Maybe you're not, but you come across as genuine and sincere on the radio. So in our efforts to highlight some of the great qualities of the United States of America as we advance toward her birthday, I'm asking a series of questions. So last night, I was asking about your favorite spots in the United States. Tonight, I'm asking America's pastimes. So baseball's been that in the past. I don't know that baseball still earns or deserves that label. But what would you say are maybe one or two of America's pastimes?
Boy, you know, I am a baseball person, Amy, so I always
you still
start
think so?
With, you know, I don't think so anymore. We don't think it in terms of that being a pastime. It's funny you asked that question on after you were talking about what you're doing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to interject with something I'm doing only to bring up the point that this used to be one of the great spectator sports in America. I'm going to spend Saturday following a really attractive thoroughbred racing card at Belmont.
Fun.
And I've always loved the thoroughbred game. I'm not a gambler. I'm not saying I don't put money on a race, but I'm not a gambler.
We work in radio. We really can't afford to be gamblers.
That's a good point. Maybe it's cause and effect. Absolutely. But I've been to all the major Triple Crown races in person. Love the horses. Love just the majestic aspect of it all.
Yes.
And I miss going occasionally to the thoroughbred racetrack, wherever it may be, just for the spectacle of it. But that used to be a great American pastime.
It
and, of
did.
Course, baseball reigned supreme as the great pastime. If we're just talking sports, Amy, I think it's indisputable that football is now, quote unquote, the pastime. But some of
yes.
us hold on to some of the traditions. And for me, that would be baseball. I love it, all the sports, but baseball's always been number one for me.
All right. Awesome. See, I knew you would be genuine and sincere. And I actually, 2 years ago, for the first time, went to Saratoga in August. It was an amazing experience. I had a friend who, she works in media there, and so we had kind of backstage passes, quote unquote, mm-hmm. where we were allowed to walk through the barns, and we went the morning the Saturday morning. So we went and we were able to kind of wander through some of the barns and make friends with some of the horses. And because I'm like you, I think the animals are incredible. beautiful and powerful and majestic. Yeah, beautiful. And I, as much as I love to hear the pounding of the hooves, and we were able to stand on one of the outside, rails, you know, away from the crowds and really hear them come toward us for one race. I worry about them getting hurt. It breaks my heart when they, you know, they break a bone or they have to be put down. And so I always get a little bit nervous, but it's just amazing how they run and they're so beautiful. And it was such a cool experience to be there in the midst of everything, the activity at Saratoga. So
true. They are such beautiful animals, and I feel the same way you do every time I watch a race. I used to work at racetracks, and I've seen some things that I didn't want to see. And so you hope that they all come through okay. But they're great. Mm-hmm. They have personalities. They know exactly what's going on. In other words, they know if they've won. They know if they didn't really want to work that day. It's there's a lot to it, and I think it's one of the more underappreciated sports out there right now. And unfortunately, in the opinion of some, one that's fading away. But I'll do my best on Saturday to keep things going.
Awesome. All right, coming up next, we're going to spend some time looking at the NBA's return through the eyes of the Denver Nuggets.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jason Kosmicki on the Denver Nuggets radio network. A lot of activity in the NBA on Tuesday, from Commissioner Adam Silver to the New Orleans Brain Trust, even to Lakers GM Rob Pelinka. So I want to give you kind of the landscape of the NBA as they get closer and closer to reporting to Orlando. It's a tenuous situation. We get it. It's one of those fluid situations, like pretty much everything else this spring in 2020, because there are no concrete answers. There are no black and white rules or blueprints to navigate the pandemic, especially when you're talking about the world of sports. And so things change every single day. And Adam Silver, along with the other commissioners, are having to roll with the proverbial punches. But Adam did a brief appearance on Time 100, and he was asked, of course, about the numbers of virus cases that we're seeing spike in Orlando. Now, the death rate isn't necessarily going up, so that's fantastic news. And in fact, in some places around the country, the numbers continue to go down. And Massachusetts, great example. Congratulations to Massachusetts. They have just had a full day with no coronavirus deaths, no deaths related to COVID-19 for the first time since March. I think that's amazing. And that's just one number to highlight. So a lot of times when you're thinking about the spikes and the numbers going up, the numbers of cases, let's just be honest, a lot of it's young people. So bars are open, people going to the beach, people getting together. And in many cases, young people are asymptomatic, or the virus isn't nearly as serious as it is for older people and people with pre-existing health conditions. So if you look at the average ages of a lot of the counties and the states where the spikes are happening, thankfully, the death rates are not also going up. But it's still a concern for the commissioner of the NBA, for the commissioner of MLS, as they prepare to descend upon Orlando and restart their seasons in a manner of speaking. And so Adam Silver made his appearance on Time 100, and he was talking about the Orlando plan and how, you know, it is a fluid situation.
Never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable. And I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there were something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit, our plans. I'd also say, we're testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that would, of course, would be a cause for us to stop as well.
Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, making an appearance on Time 100 Talks. And he was asked about moving forward in Orlando, despite what has been a surge in coronavirus cases in that part of the state. And he said, in response to the question, it's never full steam ahead, no matter what. And he mentions the word unpredictable when it comes to the virus. And so they're looking at the numbers. They're tracking the data daily. Isn't that what a lot of Americans are doing? My mom's husband, obsessed with the numbers. Every day we got updates while he was here, and my mom gets updates all the time. Now, it's hard sometimes because the numbers taken out of their context or away from the big picture, they can present a really scary or even an inaccurate picture depending on which way you're looking at it. And so it's about context for the numbers. It's about, you know, trying to track the virus in a way that is most applicable to, in this case, basketball, the Disney workers that would have been going in and out of the NBA bubble. And so they're testing daily in the NBA community. And you have to, yes, look at the NBA as part of the greater Orlando area, but also remember that they've got some really strict health and safety protocols that are designed to keep the virus on the outside. Will everyone follow those health and safety protocols? Well, potentially the league depends on it. And we don't know whether or not an outbreak could penetrate that bubble. We don't know what happens if it does or how it might happen, but it certainly depends upon the NBA players and the other members of the travel communities taking these health and safety guidelines seriously. Because if they don't, they've got no shot. It's a contact sport. It could spread very easily based on the activity of basketball. And so what they're asking players and coaches and officials and team staffers and NBA staffers to do is to recognize that we have to keep the virus on the outside of the bubble, or our season, your livelihood, it very much hangs in the balance. And we could have to shut this puppy down just as quickly as we did in March. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, here's Commissioner Adam Silver addressing the idea of, you know, a spread of the virus around the NBA bubble.
We have a panel of scientists, doctors, experts that are working with us. And I mean, we're gonna see as we go. I mean, certainly, you know, if cases are isolated, that's one thing. I think a lot of the determination will be our understanding of how our community became infected. That will be part of our judgment in terms of whether we should continue. But certainly, if we had a lot of cases, we're gonna stop. As I said earlier, you cannot run from this virus. I'm absolutely convinced it will be safer on this campus than off this campus, because there aren't many other situations I'm aware of where there's mass testing of asymptomatic employees. I mean, so in some ways, this is maybe a model for how other industries can ultimately open. But, you know, I'm only going to say, you know, we will be responsible and we will watch what's happening. But I think the biggest indicator will be if we begin to see a spread within our community.
If you're wondering what will determine if the NBA season moves forward, it's exactly that. A spread within the basketball community, not a greater spread in Orlando. And I said this last week but I said this the week before I went on vacation, that if you're looking at the bubble concept, it's designed to keep the virus on the outside. And despite whatever may be happening in greater Orlando, if no one's going in and no one's going out, the virus doesn't catapult itself through the air and land inside one of these hotels, right? I mean, you have to spread it by spit, by bodily fluids. You have to come in contact with the fluids of someone who's infected. That's the whole point of washing your hands and wearing a mask, right? Because even if it would get on your hands, you're not touching your face. It doesn't just burrow its way through your skin. So you wash your hands, you wipe down surfaces, you make sure that you wear your mask, you don't touch your face. Well, in the NBA, obviously, they're not going to be playing with masks, but they can take all these other precautions. And if they can keep the virus on the outside, then they can continue to move forward. And I like what Commissioner Silver says about potentially using this model for other sports. Now, we think about football coming up in late July, training camps, which, you know, they're going to use training camp as kind of a precursor and a run-up and a litmus test for the actual season. But right now, they're not planning a bubble. They're planning to have players in a bubble leading up to training camps. They're planning to have players quarantine and be healthy, and they're not going to allow them to go to training camp if they are tested positive or showing symptoms. But as much as possible, they're trying to do the same thing, keep the virus on the outside. It's difficult to do, but we have seen the sports that, you know, that are in operation right now try to set up as much as possible this safe zone. And so NASCAR's continued to operate with the strict testing. Golf, same thing. They've had a handful of cases or situations where players, golfers or caddies have had to withdraw from tournaments, but they continue to move forward because they're catching it in time and because they're limiting community spread. UFC even has had a couple of isolated cases of positive tests, and those fighters or those staff members have removed themselves from their bubble and they've been able to continue on with their event. So it is possible. Now, basketball, football, completely different, much larger scales, but it is possible. It's just, it's a mountain of protocols and a mountain of guidelines and nonstop testing. All right, so we have connected with our guest, and we hope that he will be able to join us after the top of the hour. We're going to look at the eyes of, or through the eyes of the Denver Nuggets for the NBA's return. These 22 teams headed to Orlando, we hope. Also, what is America's pastime? And your cynical answers are not welcome. I'm looking for positive, uplifting answers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.